Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 84. And we get to come to church today. This is new. We've been in isolation for 90 days. I think exactly 90 days. We met last on March 8th. And so we've been doing whatever we've been doing on Sundays at home. As Dennis said, I know a lot of people have done some good things, some very good things in terms of how they've worshiped with their family and taught their family and things like that. In my case, as I've gone to my closet to get my polo shirt to get ready to preach, my suits have been yelling out to me. How about us? And I've never gone this long without wearing a suit, actually, at least not in the last 26 years. I've never preached a sermon in any church building of Folsom that wasn't packed, relatively speaking. This may be the most special one of all. This is kind of the beginning of the beginning. You know, we're starting something over, and I think we've learned a lot of things in the last 90 days that I hope we bring with us and kind of take into our hearts and apply to our lives as we continue to serve God. The mask thing is interesting because it brings new meaning to smile with your eyes. You know, when you look at people and they're behind a mask, all you're seeing is the eyes. And when we take pictures, sometimes we tell people without a mask to smile with their eyes. Now, that's really important that you do that. When you smile, you express yourself with your eyes. What I want to talk about this morning is kind of simple, maybe even predictable. And that is, we can take the church for granted. If we've learned anything in the past 90 days, it's that this can be true. Those of us who have found it so easy to come to this place, so easy to sit in a comfortable place, as always, the deacons have everything ready. In my experience with the deacons at Folsom has been just that they are the best group of men that we could possibly rely on to take care of situations like this. We've got live streaming now, which, as I told Matt and Steve, Matt and Steve are bringing us into the 21st century. We are doing that now. But it's very easy to take for granted what we have here, the talent we have here. There's several men that can get up and preach. There's several men that can get up and lead singing. Just many men who can teach, many women who are working behind the scenes and doing so much for everyone. It's easy to forget what advantage we have. When we use that term taking for granted, what we're talking about is that we don't appreciate what we have as much as we should. And so we kind of just get into a routine, and clearly that's happened in the past to me. I mean, during this pandemic, you say, well, let's get in the car and drive, and you say, where are we going to go? There's no place to go, right? It's like so changed. You kind of take that for granted. You just jump in the car and go somewhere. You take for granted the fact you go to a restaurant somewhere. You can shake hands. You can hug. All these things that we just assumed have been universal forever, we can't do anymore. In our case, in the last 90 days, we assumed we could put food into a machine that keeps it cold. And we couldn't at one point because our refrigerator went on the blink for about 10 days, 8 or 10 days. We assumed you turn on the faucet and you get water. We take that for granted. Well, we lost our water too for 2.5 days. You know, you take things for granted, and when that's taken away from you, it's very difficult. Somebody said about this time, I feel like I'm 16 again. I can drive, gas is cheap, but I'm grounded. It's kind of where we are. The privilege of worship is something we don't want to take for granted. In Psalm 84, which I'll read in just a minute, I think we have a situation here where the writer of the psalm, or the writers, this is the sons of Korah who are writing this song, that it is a psalm. It seems to be that he is prevented for some reason from going to the temple. And so he's writing about that and talking about that here. And he's expressing himself. So I'm going to read the entire psalm, then we'll go back through it and just kind of pick up some lessons from it this morning. He says in verse 1, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a God, Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Three times in this psalm, the psalmist says someone is blessed for some reason. And we'll just look at those in sequence. The first blessed occurs in verse 4, but covers verses 1 to 4. So let's just see what he has to say and if it can help us somewhat in this, in not taking what we have here so often for granted. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. A lot of translations, how dear. And what he's saying here, this is dear to me. And he's reflecting on it. Apparently, again, as I said earlier, he may not be able to go there. He's talking about the temple, of course, in this Old Testament context. But he's not able to go there. And so he's dwelling on that. And I've thought about that over the past 3 months. I mean, this place is just a place. It's just a building. But this place is a place that has become very dear to me. And I don't think I realize that as much as I have in the last 90 days. And it's not because I love coming into this plant, this stucco and all that. It's because of who's here when I get here. And so he's reflecting on that. He faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy. I think that means sings for joy as he thinks about this, about going there. We have a saying, or somebody said it, probably Shakespeare, he says most things. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. When Christie's, it hasn't happened for a while, but when she goes away for a week, your heart really starts to ache a little bit. You get more fond of her in that sense because they're away. You don't have what you're so used to having. And clearly, that's what he's doing. He even envies the birds because he says here, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, or Lord of hosts, King of my God. That might kind of go to the hospitality of God. God kind of invites us in to worship, and it's like he invites us into his home. Even the birds can go when they want to, whenever they want to, and he envies them because of that. Then he says that they are blessed who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Verse 4 sounds like heaven to me, right? Because he's saying, blessed are those who dwell. And when you see that word dwell, you think of somebody who's living there. You're kind of staying there. And then they're ever, like always, singing God's praise. So this man, this writer who can't get there, is reflecting on that and sad that he can't go. And I hope we all kind of relate to that from what we've been through in the last few 3 months. It's not the place, again, it's God. 18 times God is mentioned in these 12 verses, 18 times, counting the pronouns. He's referred to 18 times. It's God he is missing. In the Old Testament, of course, in Old Testament times, you go to the temple because that was the place of God. Once a year, you go there for the atonement. That was the figurative place of God. And so for us, that's figurative for us, because as we go to the temple, that's, I want to go where God is. I want to go where I can learn of God. I want to go where God's people are. This is almost equivalent to love your brethren, because we go to services to help each other. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works is what we come here for, according to Hebrews 10, verse 24. That's why we come. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, he says. He also says, blessed are those whose strength is in God. Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Now you got to stop and think about this from the standpoint of you've got somebody who's wanting to get to the temple. That's where he wants to get there. He wants to get back to the place of worship. And he's not there yet. So he's talking about those who kind of get on the highway to go there. He's talking about those whose hearts are on the highways to Zion, to Mount Zion, where the temple is. And he says, they go through the Valley of Baca. That Valley of Baca is a dry place. There wasn't an actual place that called that, as far as we know. But he's using that to picture a dry, thirsty land. Isn't there a song that we sing about dry, thirsty land? Right, and you picture you're going through this dry, thirsty land to get to a place that you want to be. And as they go, what he's saying here in this song, as they go, they're willing to put up with that. They're willing to go through the desert. And as they go, they figuratively make it a place of springs. Even as the pools kind of spring up there because of what they're thinking, because of their attitude, their desire to get to that place where they can meet God and worship God with other people makes that journey a more pleasant journey, even if they have to struggle to do it. It's not always convenient to come to church. And I use church that way. It's all right to say come to church, because that simply means to come to the assembly. That's what that means. The church is the people, to come to where people assemble. And it's not always easy to do that. Sometimes you have to go through a valley of Baca. Just getting kids ready, right, can be an inconvenience. I remember we were going to El Cajon, not El Cajon, El Centro, way back when, going to El Centro. Angie was 4, Dave was 7. We got into El Centro at 1 a.m. in the morning. We got into a hotel there, the only hotel that was available, apparently. We got into the hotel. This was Saturday night. And the air conditioner, it was 105 or something, and humid as could be. Have you ever been to El Centro in August? Don't go. I mean, with all due respect to El Centro, don't bother. You don't want to be there in August. But so we get there, and we're in the hotel. The air conditioner freezes up. Almost immediately we get there. We go to the man, the owners, or whoever they were, people around the hotel. We said, we need this fixed. Well, they couldn't do it. There's no way to get it fixed. And there were no other rooms. And we were stuck there. So we had Angie and Dave in the tub in cold water. Never slept that night at all. Then we got up and went to church the next morning. Because that's what you do. That's what you do. Sometimes getting there can be a real challenge. Sometimes people have a lot more difficulty. There's things going on in their life where they are struggling. And they have to kind of talk themselves into coming to here. Maybe sometimes it's easier just to stay home, just to not deal with that. So they kind of pick themselves up, and their life may be very dry. Their tongue may be very parched, but they pick themselves up and they bring themselves here, even though they're under a great burden. And I don't know about them, people who do that, but I know when I've done that, I always feel much better when I come. It never fails that when I get here, the people who are here, who love God, who are like Precious Faith, pick me up and help me. And that's a tremendous blessing. And I think that's what it means when he says in verse 7 that they go from strength to strength. each one appears before God in Zion. It goes from strength to strength. I think he's talking about a synergy there that we have with our brethren. Because we get these people together that love God, and that's like 1 + 1 = 4, right? I mean, that's more important. You get a lot of people together and they all love God. How rare is that? You can't find that out in the world. The argument for Florida College is that you find a whole bunch of people like that. And you go there and those kids are all kind of on the same page. There may be some exceptions, but the majority is that the kids are people who love God and come from families who love God. I'm not promoting Florida College. That was an advertisement or paid advertisement or otherwise. It's just that's what they say. I never had the privilege of going there. Derek Kidner puts it pretty well. He says, people who love God and his people dig blessings even out of hardship and sorrow. So they find those blessings. They go from strength to strength. And then they find people that help them, that they pick up a shovel and they dig together. And they dig themselves out of those hardships. And they get to the place where people are who love God. And they find the blessing there. They find the strength of God there. That's what they find. And I've taken that point for granted plenty of times. And I regret that. The third blessing he mentions here is actually found at the end of the text in verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. So ultimately it comes down to faith. Blessed is the one who has faith in you. He starts back up in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, or verse 9, behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. And then he says in verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. As a preacher, when you read this, you say, okay, do I just like coming here because I like to get up and talk? Or if you're a leader in any realm here, is that, well, I like to come when I'm up front and I get to do things. His point here, I don't care if they just made me the doorkeeper. If I just opened the door for people to walk in and said hello to them as they walked in, that'd be good enough for me. And I hope we all feel that way. He's exalting this moment, this hour that we have to be together by saying, I don't need a special place here. I just want to be here. And that's better than anything else. That's his point. Not only better than being in the tents of wickedness, it's better than anything that he could imagine. There are people who come here, we know. None of you, obviously, because you had a very easy out today. You did not have to come here today. Nobody had to come here today. You could have said, no, I'm not comfortable. That would have been plenty. You're here. But there are people who sometimes come to a service and they don't really want to be there. There's a young lady where I preached previously who would come 2 weeks before her parents showed up. Her parents were faithful Christians, and she would come 2 weeks before that. Why do you think she did that? The reason she did that is so that when the next week when she came and her parents were there, we wouldn't say, oh, hi, Judy, we missed you, right? Because she was just there the week before. She was very clever, but not doing her any good. She just should just come clean. She said, I don't really want to be there, Mom and Dad. Should have been honest. You're here because you want to be here. I've got several of you ask, can we come? Can we come? I said, sure. I mean, I think we'll do fine. I don't think anybody's counting us. I don't think we have 100 here today. If there's no other place we'd rather be, right? I mean, there's no other place we'd rather be. For the Lord God, verse 11 says, is a sun and a shield. I take that to mean he's light. And he's protection. He's protection. He's light and protection for us. He bestows favor or grace and honor on us. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold. James says something like that when he says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is our sun and our shield. and the giver of every good gift, that's James 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. I'd rather be here than in Bamberg, Germany, or Prague, or Paris. And I've been to those places. I couldn't say that a couple years ago. But I've been to those places. I'd rather be here on Sunday than there. I'd rather be here than Dodger Stadium. Now, you know how serious I am. There's no place I'd rather be on a Sunday than here. Not just because, whether I'm up here or not. I'd love to be here. Whether it's me, Scott, Kenny, whoever's up here, that's fine with me. I'll hold the door back there. I'd be happy to do that. I know Scott feels the same. We come here because it helps us build our faith in God. I mean, just singing the songs we sing. The singing was different. It was muffled this morning. I wasn't up here where Brady was. I don't know what it sounded like to him, but obviously we're muffled because we're singing behind masks. But it was still very good. Still, we read the words and sang the words, and we gained from that, which is the point. So I've taken being here for granted for a lot of years. I mean, I've been a Christian forever. I mean, for essentially forever. And let's just don't do that anymore, I guess is my exhortation. Don't take it for granted. I don't know how we can after having been away from it for 3 months. I realize there's so much value here. It's like a glorified pause for me, and I hope for you. It's like an oasis in the middle of a desert. It gives us chances to kind of stop and think about some things that are not worldly things. I watch the news too much, and I need to quit that because it gets your head all messed up. There's too much chaos out there, and you come here and there's peace. And we come here to get a clearer picture of God, to brighten our focus, and to strengthen our faith. That's what whoever wrote this wanted. Blessed are those who trust in you. That's what he was aiming to do. We need the frequent association with those of like precious faith, 2 Peter says, to keep our spirits up and to keep our faith strong. We need that constant association. And that's what we're here for. That's what the church is here for. I don't know if there's someone here subject to the invitation this morning. Most of you are invitees and a little special crowd this morning. But clearly, if you have not found your home with Jesus, if that's not where you found your home, then we want to give you an opportunity to make that confession of Jesus and to be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of sins. That's clearly what we must do. That's the invitation of the Lord that he gives us to become one of his children. And if we can help you in that way today, then please stand as we sing it. Stand a song.